we on Earth have just awakened to the great oceans of space and time from which we have emerged.
That's the voice of the late Carl Sagan at the end of the very first episode of the 1980s show Cosmos. The series was beloved in its time, and luckily for fans, it hasn't gone away, thanks in large part to our next guest. Andrian was a co-writer of the original Cosmos, and she's the brains behind the latest incarnation, which begins its third season next Monday on the National Geographic Channel. The latest season and the show's companion book, written by Andrian, are called Cosmos, Possible Worlds. And thanks a lot for joining us today.
Rob, I'm so excited to be with you and your listeners.
Can you talk about the mission of Cosmos, the power of storytelling in helping us understand science and the universe we live in?
Well, if I can distill the mission of Cosmos into one idea, it's that the revelations of the grandeur and the beauty of the universe and nature that modern science has given us really belong to everyone, to each of us. It's a birthright. And for a long time, there's been a great tall wall around science that has intimidated the rest of us. And it's the dream of Cosmos that every viewer, every reader of our books will come away uplifted and empowered by this information and be informed decision makers in a society that aspires to become a democracy.
You tell in the show and in the book not just the story of the science, but of the scientists, the people who made things happen over the decades, over the centuries. Why is that an important part of the story?
Well, because I think we all feel the long shadow over our future. Many of us, I know I do, feel powerless. And yet, everyone alive, everyone who can hear my voice at this moment, is descended from generations of our ancestors who had their backs against the wall time and time again. And they rallied. They rose to the challenge. And now we are the link in this long chain of life that stretches back 4 billion years on our planet. It's up to us to awaken from our sleepwalking and to act in defense not only of our civilization, but also of the other species with whom we share this planet.
You opened the book at the 1939 World Fair in New York and a young Carl Sagan. Can you talk about that as a source of inspiration for him?
Yes. I have imagined countless times the five-year-old Carl Sagan. His parents live paycheck to paycheck in a small apartment. And they don't. None of them have ever even met a scientist. And yet they go to that 1939 New York World's Fair. And they're so poor, they have to bring a brown bag lunch. They can't afford any of the souvenirs that Carl desperately wants. And yet at that moment, Carl discovers that there's such a thing as a future and that the only way to get to it is through science. And so on that day, his life trajectory was formed. And I think it's a reason for hope, first of all, in terms of the improbable circumstances that he came from, but also because, you know, the New York World's Fair was opened by Albert Einstein. And he said this great thing. He said, if science is ever to fully fulfill its mission the way that art has done, its inner meaning must penetrate to the consciousness of the people. And that's the dream of Cosmos. There's no idea in science that cannot be explained with clarity and simplicity. And Carl was, of course, an artist at doing so. And by doing that, he connected with people in every country on Earth. So many scientists, so many doctors, so many teachers, engineers were first engaged in the scientific enterprise by seeing Cosmos. And so what we hope at this time when science is under attack, when some of our leaders speak of science with such contempt, in a fear-based environment, we need a reality-based way of seeing things. And that's what I think science offers.
Talking to Andrian, co-creator with the late Carl Sagan, her late husband, of the original Cosmos series. She's the creator of the newest incarnation, Cosmos Possible Worlds, and the author of a book of the same name. And that thread continues. You share a personal story in your book of a doctor inspired by Carl Sagan. And
yes.
You and your son had a very great need for this doctor. Can you share that with us?
Yes. During the making of this season, Sam Sagan, my son, who is a co-producer, contributed many of the ideas that Brandon Braga and I, that became the scripts that we wrote. And we were working together in the editing room. And suddenly Sam, 27 years old, stood up and said, "I have a splitting headache." And then instantly some maternal instinct kicked in. And I said, "I'm taking you to the hospital." And everyone in the room looked at me like I was nuts. But we rushed to Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles. And within minutes, they had determined that he was having a massive cerebral hemorrhage. And so we waited, and there were some really horrible first days. And then we were told that there was one doctor who could fix this problem. And I met with him, and he was very formal and detached at first. And he told me that Sam's odds were terrible, and that there was a procedure that he could do. It was very delicate, but that he wanted to warn me that Sam would most likely be severely impaired if he survived. So I said, "Well, we have to ask Sam." And we walked into Sam's ICU room. And the doctor asked Sam, "Well, what do you do for a living?" And Sam said, "Well, I actually work with my mom." He said, "What do you do?" He said, "Well, we work on a television series, Cosmos." And the doctor, his whole demeanor changed radically. And he looked at us and he said, "If you come of age in a poor country like Colombia, as I did, and Carl Sagan calls you to science, the only avenue open to you is medicine. And that's why I'm standing here right this moment." And I knew when he said that he would do everything to save Sam, and he did. And I'm so fortunate to be able to tell you that not only did Sam survive, but he survived completely intact and only changed by an enhanced love of the preciousness of life.
I'm so glad it worked out that way. And it reminds me the coincidence of our existence that's come about, all these, you know, stars through the universe ending up as us. That's a thing I don't know, I took away from the original Cosmos, how amazing it is that we're here and we can have that kind of serendipity in our lives.
That's my favorite line in all of Cosmos, is we are a way for the universe to know itself. We are star stuff. That's one of the great insights that Carl Sagan and other scientists first stumbled to in the 20th century. And it still gives me goosebumps to think that my hair, my bones, my skin, every atom in my being and yours was forged in the fiery hearts of distant stars. So the cosmos is within us.
We're talking to Andrian, acclaimed science communicator, creator of the TV series Cosmos. The newest season, Possible Worlds, airs Monday. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you watched Cosmos over the years, maybe with your kids, maybe as a kid yourself? What have you thought about it? Has it helped you learn new things about science and humanity? Did it shape your career at all? Do you have questions about the making of the show, the creation of the show? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our talk with acclaimed science communicator Andrian about her new book, Cosmos Possible Worlds, and the newest season of the TV show by the same name. It airs starting on Monday. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of the Cosmos TV show, past or present? Has the show opened up an interest in science or space for you or maybe your children? Do you have questions about the show? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And I want to ask about what may have been a difficult moment behind the scenes. Neil deGrasse Tyson hosting the show. Listeners may remember he had been accused publicly of behaving inappropriately and making sexual innuendos to a Cosmos producer. Other incidents of accusations of creepy behavior. Also one accusation of rape. There was an investigation by networks. What do you think about the process and the outcome with Neil deGrasse Tyson still hosting the show?
Well, I think it was, it was a trial for all of us because, and certainly for the women who felt uncomfortable. I feel very sorry that it happened, but, you know, there were four investigations. And while, you know, we tried as hard as humanly possible to see, you know, exactly what had happened. We followed the evidence wherever it led, which is the ethos of Cosmos. What we discovered was that, Neil had something to learn about boundaries. There was no ill will behind anything he did. And I've known him his whole adult life, and he's I believe him to be a good person. But I also think that, we're human, we make mistakes, we have personality quirks, and for a lot of people, we've had to develop a learning curve about a newly sensitized world to the rights of women and other people. And that's one of the things that gives me so much hope about the future. As I'm 70 in my lifetime, you know, when I was a young woman coming up, I didn't get to finish a sentence, let alone, you know, I mean, it was all kinds of feelings of being unheard and disrespected. But I've seen a great deal of change in those 70 years, change that makes me feel hopeful, not the complete change, the perfect world, not merely that world yet, but moving in that direction so that people, not extremists, but people, you know, like me, regular people understand that we have to change the way we act. And I believe that Neil is making every effort to do so, and he gives a remarkable performance in this season. So live and learn.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234, talking about Cosmos. Tom is with us now in Milwaukee. Tom, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment. There is a line in the original Cosmos series that Dr. Sagan said that has stayed with me for all these decades, and it stayed in the back of my mind. He was talking, it was an episode, it could have been on the evolution of man. He was talking about the brain, and he said, we have a brain, and he paused for a moment, and then he said, think of the possibilities. And I found that so liberating, to think that we can do anything with the power of our brain.
Tom, thank you so much for that call, Anne.
Yes, thank you so much for that memory. And it's very exciting and exhilarating to look back 40 years on our work and to realize how impactful it's been. I really appreciate you telling us. Yes, we have, in fact, an episode in the new season, and I've written a chapter about it in my book, about the brain, about the material reality of dreaming, about the scientist in the 19th century who developed an ingenious machine to actually register the brain's dreaming. And he's one of the many scientists in the series who you've never heard of, but who were so courageous in their work and who contributed so much to our current understanding of nature. So, yes, thank you so much for that comment.
Thanks for that call. And before we go back to our callers, that reminds me, Anne, there is one set of human brainwaves, I believe, floating out into the cosmos on Voyager. And those brainwaves are yours? How did that come to pass?
They are two sets on each of the Voyagers, one and two, NASA's magnificent Voyagers that completed the first reconnaissance of the outer solar system, launched in 1977, and it was my astonishing honor to be the creative director of the Message Project. And yes, on both of those records are my EEG, my brainwaves, my EKG, my heartbeat, and all of the signals that my mind was sending out. They were recorded in hours meditation, and I had a kind of thought itinerary, and they were compressed into sound, and now they have a projected shelf life of 1 to 5 billion years.
Wow.
And they are the most distant objects ever touched by human hands.
We're talking to Ann Drian, co-creator of the original Cosmos series and creator of the newest one. She created the original with the late Carl Sagan. She's got a new book, Cosmos, Possible Worlds, as the companion to the new series. Back to your calls now. Scott is with us in Fort Atkinson. Scott, hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to say I love the show. I think I read my first Carl Sagan book about space when I was probably like 8 years old. I just had a quick question that, if we are alone in the universe, if we're the only planet with life, what does that say about us? I'm curious to hear your take on that. Thank you.
Thank you so much for this very deep question. Well, if we are alone in the cosmos, that just underscores our responsibility to get our act together. Because if we are the only way for the universe to know itself, which I think unlikely, but is certainly possible, then think of the preciousness of the life, the biodiversity of this pale blue dot, this tiny world. If that were the case, then you, everyone listening, you hold in your hands the future of that life and that intelligence. So, you know, to me, that's a wake-up call to say each of us have a responsibility to do what we can to preserve and to cherish that life and our intelligence, a means to know a universe vast and beautiful beyond our reckoning.
Thanks so much for that call. We'll bring on Liz with us now in Ripon. Liz, hello.
Hi there.
What do you want to tell us about, Liz?
Well, so me and my kids have been watching Cosmos since they were itty-bitty. they're huge Cosmos fans. They're 11 and 6, or 10 and 6. And they're also, they love, we call him Mr. Neil in our house. They were going to have a Mr. Neil birthday party when they were little. Like, they're obsessed. But I was wondering if the new show is going to be as kid-friendly as the other one, if it's something I'll be able to sit down and watch with them.
That's a great question. I mean, I think one of the aspects of the new season is that, you know, feeling that sense of shadow on our future. It seemed to me, looking at popular culture and how dystopian it is, the future that's imagined in virtually every movie or TV show or anywhere is one in which we're all living in shipping containers and everything is ruined. And what I wanted to do was to create a great dream of the future, one that would inspire your children, one that would give them the confidence, you know, necessary to do the hard work to become a scientist or a teacher or an engineer. And so you will see, we will take you to the 2039 New York World's Fair in the near future, and we'll take you to the distant future, to the time when, if we endure, human beings will be living on other worlds that circle other suns. And so, yes, I think it's perfectly great for your children. I think there are 3 episodes that might be disturbing, and I just want to point that out, and I can tell you exactly which ones they are. Episode 4, episode 5, and possibly episode 12, although less so. But everything else is absolutely made with people of all ages in mind. And I hope that, you know, when they see this, they will embrace that hope for the future and that optimism that is not, you know, pie in the sky, but really a world that we can get to.
Liz, thanks for that call. We heard from Pete in Reedsburg, who says the original was one of the most memorable TV experiences of my youth. It may sound silly, Pete writes, but it made me proud to be a human. What do you think of that reaction, Ann?
I love that reaction because we are at a moment, I think, of low human self-esteem. And look at what we've accomplished in a mere 400 years, from Galileo's first look through a telescope to sending our spacecraft to the stars. We are capable of greatness, just as our ancestors were, just as they demonstrated. And now it's our chance to do that. So I'm completely heartened and delighted by that comment. It is, we have a right to feel proud to be human, but now it's time for us to step up.
And thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
I loved the conversation. Thank you so much for having me.
We've been talking to Ann Drian, creator of the Cosmos series from National Geographic and Fox. The new season and the companion book that Ann is the author of are titled Cosmos Possible Worlds. Season 3 of the series premieres next Monday at 7 p.m. Central on the National Geographic channel. By the way, if you have thoughts growing up with Cosmos, the original series, the newer ones, maybe planning on watching the next one, the influence it might have had on your life or your kids, we'd love to hear those stories. You can email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.